Good morning, everybody. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Malachi, chapter number 3. I want to stand here and tell the Lord I love Him this morning. And I'm glad He saved an old wretch like me. You know, He saved me in spite of knowing what I was going to do, where I was going to go, things I was going to say and do. He loved me enough anyway. He still loves me. Boy, I just I'm like the pastor. That just amazes me that He would. I just ain't got over it. I'm not ever going to get over it. Malachi chapter number 3. If everybody's there, say amen. Verse number 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, God, we come to You once more on this side of eternity, Heavenly Father. Oh God, just so very thankful for this day, Lord. God, it's a day You've made, Lord. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, Heavenly Father. Lord, I just want to thank and praise You for who You are this morning, God. Lord, we are real quick to turn to You for the things that You've done and thank You for that and ask for things, Lord. But I just want to recognize You for being the God of glory this morning. God, You're seated high, holy, and lifted. And God, I just thank You, Lord, for Your only begotten Son that came and died so I could go free. God, that Holy Ghost that indwells me, Lord, my Heavenly Father is still sitting on the throne in charge this morning. God, I just thank You for Your precious Word, Lord, those promises that we can stand on, Lord. God, the help we can get from it, Lord, the things You teach us and tell us, Lord, I just thank and praise You for it. God, I just ask You to touch these old lips of clay this morning, Lord. God, get me out of the way and fill me of You, Lord. Help me to be a blessing to Your people. God, touch each and every one here, Lord God, and just be with us today, Lord. Be with us singing, Lord. Be with my pastor as he comes and stands, Heavenly Father. God, I love You this morning, and I need You in Christ's name. Amen. I'm interested this morning in verse number 17. And it says, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. And I'd like to preach just a few minutes on this simple little thought, if God help me, on God's special treasure. God's special treasure. If you look right there in verse 16, we'll say that you'll see, first of all, that there's a testimony being given. It says, then they that feared the Lord spake. You know, that'd do us a lot of good in the day and hour in which we live, talk a little bit more about God. You know, we get out here, all I've heard on the television and the radio for the past few days is race, race, race. I've heard NASCAR, seen NASCAR, and been exposed to NASCAR. I'm sick of NASCAR. I'm about sick as it is I am of football in football season. About sick of it as I am in baseball during baseball season. We need to be talking just about as much about God as we do these other things. Because what happens is we get full of these things. We don't talk about God. We don't think about God. We don't concentrate on God. We don't meditate on God. We get thinking about things of this old world. And when we get to be about like the rest of Israel here in this book. If you've never read the book of Malachi, I suggest you read it. I suggest you read it because God's fixing to shut heaven up for about 400 years. God's fixing to take and He's going to remove all His prophets. He's not going to speak to them. He's not going to send a word for 400 years. I couldn't imagine going 4 days without hearing from God, much less 400 years. But I'm telling you what, right now we need to get things of God back on our minds, back in our homes, back in our hearts, back in our places of business. We need to be talking a whole lot more about God than we've been talking about. I know Brother Mike last Sunday night had studied and poured his heart out and prayed and was ready to teach. Boy, you could see it was on him. But God had something else in mind. Brother Dennis started and it wound up, instead of being 40 minutes preaching, being 40 minutes about talking about how good God's been to us. They can't none of us sit here and say God ain't been good to us. They can't none of us sit here and say that God ain't been faithful to us and true and sure and honest. They can't none of us sit here and say these things. But how often do we say them about Him? How often do we talk about how good God has been to us? See, but with they that feared the Lord spake. See, we see there's a remnant seen. It says, then they. Who's that they, preacher? That's them that wouldn't go the rest of the old world was going. That word remnant means a few or small in number. Liberty Baptist Church, you better thank God you're a remnant. because there ain't a whole lot of places like this left. I've been in some places, been dry as cracker juice. I've been in some places God ain't been around in a month of Sundays. I've been in some places where you just might as well go ahead and paint Ichabod over the door, bar the doors, lock them, and just burn the building down because God ain't nowhere around it. Liberty Baptist Church, we have something that is very, very special. We have something, and we are a remnant. We're not the only one. We ain't got the corner market on worship. We ain't got the corner market on God. But I'm telling you what, right here, we're in that corner. We're one of the very few that have anything that has to do with God anymore. And we're one of the very few that God has anything to do with anymore. Because in order for Him to pay attention to you, us, we're going to have to pay attention to Him. And that's the way that works. I mean, that's the way fellowship works. One-sided fellowship don't cut it with God. I mean, He'll reach down, He'll do, and He'll do. But He likes to hear from us every now and then. You know, I've got children, I've got grandchildren, and mine will go sometimes days, weeks at a time without calling me. But boy, when they do, I sure do like it. I look on my cell phone, I say, oh boy, there they are. It does something to my heart and my life and my soul when my kids call me and get in contact with me. But we need to be doing that more for our Heavenly Father. We need to be showing Him more interest. We need to be showing Him more concern, more love. We need to be showing Him more praise, more honor, more glory. We need to be doing these things more in our lives because I'm convinced more today in this day and hour in which we live than I ever have been before that it's the remnant that's keeping this country together. There's a few places left. There's a few ports in the storm. There's a few islands in the ocean that you can go to and you can get somewhere. You can get help for your life. You can go and you can pray to a holy God. You can be heard and answered from a holy God. And I believe with all my heart that's the only thing that's really keeping this country, our families, our homes, our communities together in this day and hour in which we live. I mean, because I don't know where all these places are, but I know that this is one of them and I'm thankful I'm here. We have a remnant seen, we have a reverence sensed. It says, they that feared. See, that's what we're missing more than anything else, I believe, in this day and hour in which we live. There's no fear. You walk around in the back windows of these trucks, you say, I ain't scared. Or, you know, I ain't scared. Or no fear. I'm telling you what, right now, I fear my daddy. I do. I respect my daddy. I love my daddy, but I fear my daddy. Why? Because that's how you get that fear. That's how you get that respect. That's how you get that reverence. And I'm not saying we shouldn't enter these doors without that reverential fear. We should. We ought to have a reverential respect for the house of God, the place of God, the man of God, God Himself. We need to have these things. But there also needs to be a knee-knocking, bullet-sweating, teeth-chattering fear of a holy God. Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Himself said, we should not fear man who can only harm our bodies. He said, but we should fear the one that can destroy our bodies and soul in hell. And if that ain't enough to put fear in you, then you can't be scared this morning. If that ain't, I mean, your wood's wet. I mean, you just don't care. And that's where our world's at today. There's no fear. There's no fear. And the whole nation of Israel had gotten like this. I mean, they were saying things to God and everything that I just can't imagine. I can't imagine. Over in chapter 1, in verse number 1, it says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? My, what a comment. Can any one of you sitting in this room today say that God don't love you? Or ask, where's the last time He loved you, or how's He loved you, or why He loved you? I mean, my word, people. The whole nation of Israel, except for the remnant, is there's no fear. They don't think there's any consequences. They're thumbing their nose at God. They're turning their backs on God. They're doing anything they want to in the house of God. Sounds a lot like today, don't it? Sounds like they're bringing anything through them doors they want to. There's no reverence. There's no fear. They say, oh, we've done it, got away with it. We'll do it again and get away with it. And I'm telling you what, right now, there's no fear. There's no fear in a holy God anymore. Not only a remnant seen and a reverence sensed, but there was a remembrance stated. It says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. You know, I like what the preacher said. He said, I don't have to go back, but I don't think it hurts every now and then to look back. And the reason for this is I have to be reminded sometimes of where I come from. I mean, I'm just human. I mean, I haven't arrived yet. I'm not as spiritual as some or most. And every now and then I get way up there on my high horse. And God has to thump me off and make me realize that, hey, you were nothing when I found you. You were scum. You were vile. You were wretched. You were a sinner. You were dying on your way to hell. You were leprous. You were sick. You were lame. You were blind. When I found you wasn't worth spitting on. You wasn't worth the powder it took to blow your brains out. But He loved me enough by His wonderful love and His grace and His mercy. Came to where I was, pulled me out and saved me and put me in the family. And I thank you and I praise Him this morning. I'm telling you what, I wrote this down. I don't know if anybody else has ever said it, but Lord put this on my mind. Because of what I am, I have to be reminded of who I am and where I came from. Because of what I am. I'm still just an old sinner saved by grace. I have to deal with this old flesh every day. I have to deal with my mind every day. I have to deal with the things of this world every day. So every now and then it don't hurt for me to look back at a 13-year-old boy sitting on the back bench of a one-room Baptist church and have a holy man of God standing up here preaching to me about this place called hell and this place called heaven and God coming my way and saying, if you don't repent, you're going to die and go to that place called hell. And I saw my state and realized where I was at, and I come forward and got marvelously saved by His wonderful grace. It don't hurt to go back and look. It don't hurt for us to be reminded. Joshua took 12 stones out of the River Jordan, set them up as a memorial. Why? He said, because in time to come. In other words, back there. You've gotten up here in time to come when your children shall ask. You can look back and say, that's where God brought me to. That river over there is where God brought me from. That desert back there is where He brought me from. That land in Egypt back there is where He brought me from. Over here to the promised land, the land of milk and honey. The land of goodness and greatness and mercy. I'm telling you, we ought to be thankful this morning. We ought to be very thankful this morning for what He's done for us. We ought to remember what He's done for us. Not only a text being given, but a text being written. Back over there in our script, back over in our scriptures, it says in verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written. A book of remembrance was written. That word book means a scroll, a book, a written decree, a legal document, a deed of purchase. Boy, that book holds a lot of stuff. I believe there's a library in heaven. There's a bunch of books. But there's only one book. There's a bunch of books, and that book is going to cover the works. But there's only one book, and that's the book of life. And I'm telling you what, right now, I'm glad my name's in that book. And we see right here, it's a book of the fathers. It was written before Him. A book of the fathers. I hope you brought your speed dials this morning. Turn to Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus 32. And we'll see that, you know, over in the book of Revelation, it talks about that book. It talks about this book all the way through this book. It's a book of the fathers. Exodus chapter number 32. Moses has come down off the mountain. He breaks the tablets because they're worshiping the idol God, that idol calf, that golden calf that they made. And God told Moses He's fixing to wipe the slate clean. He's fixing to kill them all and start all over again with Him. But now Moses steps up. And Moses, in verse number 31, it says, and Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now, it's God's book. God's keeping a record up there. He's having these things written down. There's not anything that's going to be left untold or undone. And he's written, it's not only a book written of the fathers, but it's written before the Father for them. In other words, it's written on our behalf. It's written down for us. Because we're going to stand lost or saved before a holy God one of these days. And all these books are going to be opened. And all these things are going to be shown us and brought to our memory and brought to our recollection as to what we have done, what we have said, what we haven't done, and what we haven't said. Because you have the sin of commission and you have the sin of omission. And I'm telling you, all these things are being written down and records being kept up in heaven about all the things that we do. The most important thing you can do is come up and get gloriously saved by the grace of God and have your name put in the book of life, written, and I believe it's written in the blood of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe He dips a quill over on the altar and writes. And when I got saved, He wrote my name in that book, and I've been signed and sealed and soon to be delivered by His wonderful mercy and His grace today. A book of the fathers, a book of the favored. Look at Daniel chapter number 12, last chapter in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 12. A book of the favored. We are a highly favored people, you and I that are saved. Highly, highly favored. A book of the favored. It says a book of remembrance was written before Him for them. Who's the them, preacher? Chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time of thy people shall be delivered." In other words, that's a promise from God right there. He's going to deliver His people. Anywhere you find that word shall or will, and it's spoken by God, it's a promise you can bank on. You can take it to the bank. You can write it down, mark it in stone. It's settled in heaven that it's going to happen. And we're going to be delivered. Thank God, I thank God I'm one of His favorite. I thank God that I'm one of those ones that's going to be delivered. We are a highly favored people in the eyes of God. A book of the fathers, a book of the favored, and also a book of the family. Back over in our text, it tells us in verse number 17, it says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." His own son. Now, I don't know y'all's ancestry. I don't know where y'all's father's father come from. I don't know. I think, as far back as I know, mine came from Ireland and England, as far as I know. Ain't a Jewish bone in my body. Ain't a drop of Jewish blood flowing through these redneck veins. But thanks be unto God, when I got saved, I got adopted. I got grafted in. I was like that wild branch that got planted, that got grafted into the good branch, and now I'm a member of the family today. Thanks to that thing called adoption, I've been adopted into the family. Over in Galatians chapter number 4, Galatians chapter number 4. Verse number 4 says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, that has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Thanks be unto God, I've been adopted into the family. Do you know, according to Roman law, a person that was adopted into the family had really more rights than the one that was naturally born into that family? Because it took a written decree. Remember I told you about the book that was written? I define it as being a written decree or a legal document. There was one written, and that child always had that. It said, "He can't deny me as being my daddy. He can't deny me as being my brother. She can't deny me as being my mama." But by birthrights, a father could deny the born child anything to have to do with the family. He could disown him. He could abolish him. He could kick him out of the family. He could kill him if he did something bad enough. But under that law of adoption, you had more right in that family than a natural born child of God. Now just think about what God's done for us. About how when He saved us and He moved in, took in our abode with us, how we became an adopted son of God. And an heir to, I'm an heir to the King and an heir to the throne this morning. Well, I tell you what, that helped me this morning. Not only it shows that, not only is it not, not only is all this stuff being written down, but even my adoption has been recorded. In Revelations 21, I won't ask you to go there. I'll just read it to you. In 21 and 22, And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. It's recorded in the Lamb's book of life that I am an adopted heir of God's. I am a son, or what the Bible means when it says son's a child. I am a child of the King this morning. And if you're saved this morning, you're a child of the King this morning. Not only a testimony being given and a text being written, but there's a treasure being gathered. Back over in our text in verse number 17. It says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels." Well, that word jewels right there, I looked that up and it means special treasure. Special treasure. That word make up means to gather, to get, to keep, to bring, to fashion, or to prepare. You know, we were prepared by the Father. In verse 17, it's when it says, "I make up." We were prepared. All the way back in the book of Genesis, chapter number 2, it says, God formed man from the dust of the earth. We were made in the clay. We were formed, we were made from dirt. We walk on dirt, we push dirt around, we clean dirt out of our house, we dust dirt off of televisions, we do everything we can to get rid of dirt. But all we gotta do is look in the mirror and see the biggest dirt pile you've seen all day. All you gotta do is look in the mirror and you'll see the filthiest thing you've looked at all day long. You'll see the trash and the stuff that we try to sweep out from our feet. Stuff is under our house we don't want to go crawl through if we get a leak or anything. But we will stand there and look in that mirror and look at that big dirt pile. That's what we were formed. We were made in the clay. We're mired in the pit. Psalms 40 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the pit, out of the clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going." We were mired. I was mired. If you're lost and now saved, you were mired. If you're lost, you're still mired. You're mired up in the things of this old world. You're stuck in the things of this old clay. You ever walk through a river bottom or a freshly plowed field after a good rain, and you go walking through there and you step in a real soft spot and you sink about halfway up to your knee and you get ready to move and you can't? You just stuck. I mean, you try to pull up and it just makes that big sound and you can't move, you can't lift, you can't. That's the way you are if you're in sin. You're attached to this old earth. You're just stuck in the things of this old world. Just slopping around and just wallowing around. Just like in the Mohogs out there, they like to waller in that stuff. That old clay that we were formed out of. Mired in the clay. We were made in the clay, we're mired in the pit, and we're molded in His image. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Thank God I'm being molded in His image. And 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed." That word conform means to be molded or to be pressed or fashioned or shaped into the image of His Son that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, God's still working on me. It's like that little song the kids sing. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. You know, I ain't nowhere near where I should be. By no means, but I'm a whole lot better off than I used to be. You know, He's been good to me, and I thank Him this morning. Not only prepared by the Father, but I've been pardoned by the Father. Over and back in our Scripture, it says, "I will spare them." Why, it makes me think about the prodigal son over there, why he got out in the world. And it says over there, when he came to himself, he woke up. You know, he woke up. He woke up from the sins of this old world. Kind of like old Samson over there said, he fell asleep on Delilah's knees. You know, and then she cut his hair for him. Well, I'm telling you what, the old prodigal son, he woke up from the sin of this old world, and he looked toward the Father's house. He set his heart that way. He set his feet that way. He set his mind that way, and he started back toward the Father's house. And while he was on his way, while he was yet coming up, his father saw him a great way off and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he said, "Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son, and just make me as a servant." It says, "But the Father." Boy, you better be glad the Father butted in on your life. You better be glad the Father butted in when you didn't know where you was going, how you was going, where you was going, why you was going, or how you was going to get back. But one day the Father butted in, and he pardoned him, and he forgave him, and he loved him, and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. He said, bring a robe and put on him. Bring the best robe, a ring on his feet, ring on his finger, and shoes on his feet." He was pardoned by the Father. And one day you and I that were saved, we got pardoned by the Father. Not only prepared by the Father and pardoned by the Father, I have a place with the Father. It says, when I make up my jewels, back over in Revelation, you ain't got to go there, I'll go there. In chapter number 21 again, it tells us our place with the Father. It said in chapter 21, verse 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God.'" I have a place beside my Heavenly Father this morning. I have a place that's been reserved. I have a place where I'm going to go, where I won't have to worry about standing up. There's not going to be any standing room only. Everybody's going to have a place. Everybody's going to have a seat in that wonderful place called heaven. And lastly, not only prepared by the Father and pardoned by the Father and a place with the Father, but I'm special to the Father. I'm special to the Father. He says, when I make up my jewels, that special treasure, He's gathering us, He's preparing us, He's making us, He's molding us. And one great and glorious day, I'm special to Him, so I'm going to be where He was or where He is. You see, up there in heaven, we have a wonderful place that's waiting for us. We have walls that are made of jasper and have all these wonderful stones. I'm not going to go read the scripture right now, but it's over there in chapter number 21. It tells us how the walls of the city are made with all these onyx and sapphires and rubies. How everything's just wonderful and the streets are just pure gold as transparent glass. But I'm so special to the Father. He thinks of those things as drywall and asphalt because He's making them for me. He's making for me to live in, to dwell in. I'll see those things from the time I get there throughout the rest of eternity. Those things will be there. But I'm so special to the Father that they're drywall and asphalt for me. That's how special I am to the Father. I'm one of God's special treasures. Thank you. You're dismissed.